Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by Blue Sky Uranium Corporation. Blue Sky has first mover advantage in Argentina in the world's newest uranium and vanadium district. With an existing near surface deposit that's open for expansion, Blue Sky also controls a massive district scale land package with mineralization along a 145 kilometer long trend. Blue Sky possesses tremendous exploration upside and is an excellent leverage play on rising uranium and vanadium prices. The company is run by a best-in-class management and technical team with proven exploration and development success in Argentina. Blue Sky Uranium trades under the ticker symbol BSK on the Toronto Venture Exchange and as BKUCF on the OTC. For more information and to stay on top of the latest news, go to blueskyuranium.com. That's blueskyuranium.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it's 3/18/2019. Well, what's happening out there now with the financial system? John Rubino and I were just discussing that there hasn't been a bank closure in the U.S. in years. I don't remember the last bank, probably some podunk national bank in some backwater town has been closed, but major bank hasn't been one shut down in nearly a decade. How could that be? Is the banking system so solid? Well, also, we're going to talk about the Fed because it's Fed week. What is the Fed going to do? Were they to raise rates? What would be the ramifications? Or just leave everything the same and hope for the best? And John, happy Monday. So what is the Fed going to do?
Hey, Kerry. Yeah, it's Fed week again. Somebody did a study a while ago that showed that all you really have to do is buy stocks during a Fed week and then sell them the next week and then just don't do anything. You know, don't be long stocks until the next Fed week. And you'd made a ton of money. You'd beat the market handily because the Fed tends to say things at its meetings with the markets in mind. It's as if they focus grouped all their phrasing. And they say things that are designed to calm the markets down. And the markets hear that. And, you know, they're desperate for adult supervision because nobody in the financial markets knows what's going on anymore. You know, no hedge fund still has a black box algorithmic trading system that's based on the past that still works in the present because the markets are all manipulated now. So all they've got to hang on to is the words coming out of the mouths of Fed talking heads. So you usually see really positive changes in stock prices and often bond prices when the Fed has a meeting and announces something and talks for a while. This week probably won't be any different, especially because the Fed has already been slapped down by the markets over the last few months. And they capitulated already. You know, they already said, okay, you know, we're not going to raise interest rates anymore, and we're going to stop the contraction of the balance sheet, Fed balance sheet, which is to say we're going to stop contracting the money supply. Mm-hmm. So this meeting will just be a ratification of that, probably. I mean, that's what everybody expects. If they were to go back to tightening, which, you know, logically they ought to, since the only reason they stopped tightening was because the stock market tanked in November and December. Now the stock market's back up to near record levels in the U.S. So that takes away the rationale for, you know, pausing the tightening process. But it's unlikely that they'll do that because the markets have already shown them what happens if they do. So yeah. we'll hear lots of calming words from the Fed. And probably no action this time around, because that's been the that's been what they've been doing for the past 2.5 months or so, where they just say nice things and hope that does it. And so far it has. That won't always work. And with the global economy slowing down some now and other central banks going back to actively easing, the Fed will probably be pulled along. And it's highly likely that their next move is going to be a cut in interest rates rather than an increase in interest rates. And on the balance sheet side of the equation, they'll stop letting bonds run off of their balance sheet when they mature and start adding financial assets of some sort. So we'll be back by probably year end in a new version of QE and a new version of, well, you know, ZERP, NERP. You know, the interest rates will go down, and at some point they'll have to cross over into negative territory. So we'll be back in something that looks an awful lot like 2016 in 2020, just because there's no real alternative out there. That rates were raised a little bit over the past year has already slowed the economy down, caused the financial markets to flake out. And so the damage is already done. So to repair that damage, they're going to have to start cutting rates again pretty soon.
You think, huh? So we're that close to seeing rate cuts already?
Well, not necessarily close, but the next move, whenever it comes, whether it's, you know, 2 months from now or the end of the year, will be lower interest rates. Because all this debt in the system is inherently deflationary, and the global economy is starting to slow down. And, you know, China is partially a trade war story, but their macro numbers are really, really underperforming. They're really disappointing people. Japan just announced that their exports were down dramatically, and in part that's a China story also. The European Central Bank just cut its year-ahead growth estimate for the Eurozone dramatically into a range that's unacceptably low. Germany's inflation, which was running 2% plus very recently, is now in the mid 1% range. So a lot of signs out there point to a slowing economy, which the world's central banks are going to have to respond to, because you can't have the next recession with all the debt that we've taken on.
What would happen then?
Yeah, you know, when the next recession happens, so many overleveraged borrowers will start to default that what that leads to will become incredibly unpredictable. You know, it could easily metastasize into another Great Depression. We're just that leveraged. You know, there's nothing really ideological about that or really theoretical. It's just the more debt you take on, the more bad debt necessarily that you take on.
Yeah.
And we've taken on so much now that a big chunk of our debt is by definition bad debt. For instance, we have vastly more corporate debt out there that's one notch above junk than we've ever had before. Maybe three times as much in nominal terms as we did at the beginning of the last recession. And one downgrade, and those companies are no longer investment grade, which means the interest that they have to pay to borrow going forward goes way up, and that impairs their both their credit worthiness and their ability to function in some cases. So that, you know, that's just one domino, just one thing that a small change in the macro environment can bring about in terms of a crisis. So there's a lot of stuff like that out there. The auto industry, or the auto loan sector for the U.S. is on the verge of a bubble bursting.
Rolling over.
Student loans, of course, and credit card debt is back at record levels, and mortgages are high. With in a lot of cities, home prices going down again. So all of that stuff is out there, and the Fed's aware of it, and other central banks are aware of it, and that's why the other central banks are starting to ease now, rather than just sitting tight, and why the Fed will be pulled along pretty soon, I think.
So easing is in the offing. How much can they cut rates, though? They aren't very high now, historically speaking, here. Threes, you know, the Fed funds rate's in the threes.
Well, that's why I think Fed funds rate is in the twos, but I'm not 100% sure where it is in the twos. That's why this was such a disappointment, I think, for a lot of the central banks. They hoped in this cycle to raise rates far enough to give them some ammo for the next downturn. And normally, for instance, the Fed cuts the Fed funds rate 5 percentage points. In other words, from 6% to 1%, or from 8% to 3-ish percent or something like that. And this time around, if they're only up in the twos, a 5% cut, 5 percentage point cut, would take them sharply into negative territory. And it's an even a bigger problem for the other central banks like Japan and Germany, or Japan and Europe, where interest rates are already at zero-ish. So for them to combat a recession with a 5 percentage point cut in short-term rates would take them, you know, vastly further into negative territory and into a place where they've never been before, where nobody's ever been before. You know, we've never had a big country with negative 5% interest rates. So we would be doing something that's never been done before for good reason. In other words, we don't have sharply negative interest rates because that brings with it a whole bunch of unintended consequences and really impairs parts of the financial systems of those countries. But what's their alternative during the next recession if rates are already at zero? So that's the problem that these guys are looking at right now, is that they didn't get a chance to build up enough ammo to fight the next recession. And because we're 10 years into an expansion, statistically speaking, the next recession is probably pretty soon. You know, the average expansion is 6 years long. So we're not that far from being twice as long as previous expansions. So statistically, can't go on much longer. And it isn't. You know, you're seeing a lot of, as I said, a lot of indications of a slowdown out there. So this is going to be really interesting for these guys, and really stressful for them, because, you know, picture a soldier going into a war without very much ammo in his gun.
Yeah.
You know, it's something where you don't necessarily expect a good outcome, because you don't have the tools to deal with what happens normally in that situation. And that's what they're looking at now. So more than likely, we'll see some experimental stuff. You know, they'll have to pull some new thing out of their hat, and it's not clear what that'll be.
Pull a rabbit out, huh?
Well, in this case, it might be equities. You know, they might just start buying the stock market and try to elevate financial asset prices to a level that'll keep the economy growing. In other words, put enough money in the hands of investors to induce those investors to cash out a little bit and take a nice vacation, buy a new car, put down a deposit on, you know, all the stuff that we do with borrowed money. If your stock portfolio doubles, then you're going to feel a lot more comfortable about buying some new frivolous thing. And that's what they want us to do. They want us to be out there buying stuff we don't need with money we don't have, in the hopes of getting through the next election cycle, because that's really all it's about at this point. It's how do you get the guys making the decisions reelected?
Yeah.
And it's getting harder and harder, obviously, based on all the elections out there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to do more and more extreme stuff as it gets even harder from here on out.
Right. For sure. Yeah. You know, there's not a lot of easy easy alternatives here, ways out of this box. In fact, there aren't any, and that's the big problem, right? So what about the new Basel III capital requirements for banks? It seems that gold is going to be treated a little bit differently now, isn't it?
Yeah, gold becomes a much more favorable asset for central banks in the global financial system going forward under Basel III, which I think kicks in at the end of this month. And that's part of why central banks have been buying gold rather than selling it over the last few years. China and Russia have always been accumulating gold, but now you're seeing a lot of other central banks start building up their own gold reserves. And in the past year, it was something like 600 tons of gold that central banks bought, which is a really big number for the central banks, because they were selling several hundred tons of gold per year as recently as a decade ago. And that was putting downward pressure on gold. Now you've got the central banks as one of the big buyers in this market, which is a really positive development when a new big buyer comes in. Now, of course, the central banks have a bad record of predicting future price changes in gold, but in part that's because they manipulate the price of gold. But as they accumulate more gold, it becomes in their interest for gold to go up, right? Because they can market to market on their balance sheet, and their balance sheet gets stronger as the price goes up. So that takes away one of the headwinds for the gold market. And it takes us closer to a time when central banks are you know, less opposed to the idea of going back to some version of a gold standard as a way of stabilizing their currencies. With them accumulating gold, what we need is a currency crisis, maybe related to negative interest rates. Well, you know, when interest rates are negative, why would anybody want to hold a currency in a bank account? Because you just lose money month after month and year after year. And that could cause a plunge in the value of these fiat currencies, which will lead the central banks to want to stabilize it somehow. And their gold is going to be going up relative to those currencies. And so maybe we go back to something like Bretton Woods, which was the financial system that prevailed in the 1950s and 60s, or some other version of a gold standard. But, you know, the pieces are falling into place for us to finally go back to some kind of a sound money system. So this is an indicator of currency problems coming, but also of the solutions taking shape. So it's a bad thing if you have a big dollar denominated bank account, but a good thing if you're accumulating a lot of gold right now along with the central banks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's an interesting world we're living in here, John. And yeah, that is definitely a bullish thing for gold, no question about it, not to mention trillion-dollar deficits, not to mention the whole world is, you know, in hock, up to its eyeballs in debt. So what do we do here?
Well, to expand on the world in hock thing, you're seeing a lot of governments and would-be leaders rationalizing the amount of debt that we've taken on as a way to push policies that involve a lot of spending. You know, you're hearing a lot of, well, in the richest country in the world, there's no reason why we can't, you know, run a global military empire or provide free stuff for everybody. And the philosophical and theoretical underpinning of that is that debt doesn't matter. And we should be able to borrow as much as we want to,
of course,
and or just create as much new currency as we want to. You know, the fact that a big chunk of the Democratic Party now is avowedly socialist, and that modern monetary theory, which is a monetary theory that says governments should be able to create as much currency as they want to and then just use it however they want, it isn't a surprise that those two things are happening at the same time, because they go together really nicely. a philosophy that says we need to ramp up government spending dramatically, and a philosophy that says it's fine for central banks to just create as much new currency as they want to. Those things dovetail perfectly into a coherent governing philosophy, maybe for the next, you know, Bernie Sanders administration or something. Yeah. And when that happens, that's kind of the end game for modern currencies, because
Bernie, you're not really serious, I hope. Bernie, look, the President might be a
Bernie,
Bernie
Sanders administration.
He'll die on the pulpit. The guy is never going to be president.
Well, not because of his age, though, Kerry. You know, 75 is the new 45.
We're not in way for better Bernie. Shape than Bernie's been partying like a commie, you know, and he's been partying like it's a 1917.
Well, so that's going to be the big rap against Bernie if he gets nominated. But so to take care of that, he just names a young socialist congresswoman as his running mate.
Alexandria Ocasio-Semi Cortez.
Well, she's too young, unfortunately, or she would be on the short list, no doubt. But Elizabeth Warren isn't young, but she's young compared to Bernie. So that could be a ticket where you can say, yeah, you know,
I'm
old.
She's not credible anymore. I think she's lost her credibility. I don't want to get into a whole political Pocahontas. I don't want to get into a whole political diatribe here because it's a freak show. I mean, all of the candidates, with the current occupant of the White House included, is just a major freak show here, John. You know?
Yeah. Well, but that's the script that we're living through right now. You know, that's how it works, is politics gets crazier and crazier as debt rises.
Yeah.
So this is completely to be expected out of the mainstream political philosophies and formerly fringe candidates move into the mainstream and start getting a lot of votes. So you know, you look around the world, Italy's government, what's happening in France right now, what just happened in Brazil.
This is madness.
And Donald Trump.
Well, total madness.
But it's what is happening and will continue to happen. So you can't write off people that 5 years ago you thought were just crazy, never going to happen kinds of candidates, because that's the kind of world we're living in now. So literally, the socialist adherent to modern monetary theory could be the next president of the United States. That's less crazy than the idea of Donald Trump being president was 5 years ago.
Yeah, well, you got to love these politicians. They're something else, you know? They are special, and they're different than, you know, like F. Scott Fitzgerald once said, John, the rich are different than you and I. Well, politicians are different than you and me, because they march to the beat of a whole different drummer, don't they? I mean, they're totally, totally, totally beyond the pale.
Well, you know, to get elected, you have to do a lot of things that change you.
All right.
So it's hard to get all the way to the top of any democratic political system without becoming a person that you never thought you'd become.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of who we end up with. You know, it's very rare for a politician on a national stage to just say what they think, which that makes Trump more fun than most of them, because
he really
does just say what he thinks, you know,
he
for better
fun.
Or for worse.
You got to admit, the guy is definitely fun.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's a laugh a minute.
Reagan was like that back in the day. Yeah. Most of the time, he told you what he really thought. And Ron Paul is like that. That's why he's so interesting. And frankly, a lot of the socialists are in that category too. You know, they are in one sense admirable because they're not making stuff up just to get elected. Yeah. You know, they're not focus grouping their speeches or anything. Totally. They're telling you what they really think. And
dangerous.
To me, that's refreshing.
It's very dangerous, John, for a politician to actually say what they think.
Well, that's why it hardly ever happens, because to tell a hard truth, the reason it's a hard truth is that you're offending a lot of people.
Yeah. And you're telling them what they don't want to hear.
Yeah. But some hard truths should be told.
Yeah.
And
like that
to
we're
get
broke.
Guys up there telling what they see as hard truths is inherently more interesting than these, you know, political machines that have been focus grouped so completely that they're just saying platitudes that appeal to 51% of people.
Yeah.
And that's not interesting. But what we got now is very interesting. And we're going to have real choices going forward. And they may be choices between almost fascism and communism. You know, we might be looking at Hitler-Stalin kinds of elections at some point in the future, just because the French candidates have moved to the middle.
Well, but it works so well for Germany. It wouldn't work for us. Right? Jeez. I mean, you know what people don't know? And I only found this out reading some World War One history tomes, was that when Russia was defeated in World War One, and humiliated by Germany. And what did they do? They sent over Lenin in a like sealed rail car and dropped him off there and said, you go do things, take over. It's all yours. And that's why we got communism in Russia for all those years. It was a direct outcropping of World War One. And you know, there's all sorts of theories of the Rothschilds being involved and everything else. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I can't really say that for sure, but I can tell you that that communism was a direct outgrowth of World War One. You know,
well, communism had to be tried.
Yeah.
Because it sounded great to so many people, you know, from each according to his from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs.
Yes.
Sounded like a beautiful way to organize a financial system in a world of early stage industrial capitalism. You know, that was a horrible life for
grave
a large
injustice.
Number of people.
Grave.
And so when somebody came along who said, well, we can fix this by redistributing all that wealth that you see, but you can't touch, it had to be tried for it to be discredited. And we're kind of back in that place again, where there are a lot of political philosophies that sound great, you know, that sound just as good as Marxism sounded back in 1999. To a lot of people who haven't lived through a lot of history or read a lot of history books or otherwise paid much attention to the world. And the scary thing is about today is that these things might be tried again. We might actually go back to some version of fascism you know, because remember, fascism also sounded good to people back
that made the trains run on time.
Trains run on time. You organize a society so that it creates lots of wealth. And you're going to break some eggs to make that omelet. But the trains will run on time. There will be a wide distribution of wealth because the companies are so efficient and profitable. It, you know, that stuff sounds great until it's tried and it turns into a totalitarian dictatorship. And we you know, apparently didn't completely learn that lesson last time around. So we're heading that way now, except, Kerry, that we're heading that way with next generation surveillance and control technologies that were only dreamt about back then by the last generation of dictators. So, you know, we've got artificial intelligence that can manage all of or can scan all of financial or social media and pick out changes in the behavior of individual people that point to changes in their political behavior so they can be addressed by the government before they actually even start protesting. You know, we got all kinds of things like that.
They'll never catch me, John. They'll never catch me.
Oh, the tone of your voice just now just flagged the AI the NSA that's watching you.
And don't forget, when this gets posted to YouTube, they transcript the entire thing. Now, they don't do a very good job of it. Honestly, they're kind of bad at it, but there is a transcript on YouTube and I can show subtitles when I play the stupid YouTube, but you know,
that's just first generation transcription.
I know. Well, it's
5 years from now, they'll be able to do it perfectly and know exactly what you were saying.
It's probably eighth generation, but we just don't know. But I totally agree with you. Anyway, that is it for today. Make sure you check out John's site and sign up for his newsletter. It's dollarcollapse.com. By far, some of the best writing on the web, and there's all too little sound and good writing, quality writing. You just don't come across it. And sign up at us, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. If you are listening on a podcast or watching on a YouTube, we urge you to please subscribe, like, and share. Really helps us a lot when you do that. Helps get these ideas out, which often there's no other way they can get out till we get censored. Anyway, John, so till next week, we'll talk to you then.
See you, Carrie.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.